Blog Talk Radio.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-room-closet professional witches with over 70 years' combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Well, here we go.
No kidding. I mean, we are on the go.
You know what's funny briefly? We are totally still in the shadow of Mercury, even though it's gone direct. And while our intro music was playing, I got booted off of the show and had to call back in.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, no, no, no. And then I got back, like, right as the music was ending. So, you know, thank you, Mercury, for showing us the last of what you can do.
No kidding. No freaking kidding. It's just one of those things, isn't it?
Yes,
you know?
For sure.
I mean, sometimes it's like amazing and you're like going, okay, I can survive. But obviously my way of looking at life is kind of interesting, to say the
mm-hmm.
least. I'm excited about the show because the moon is, I mean, we had a beautiful, beautiful full moon on
mm-hmm.
that one, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
So, but generally speaking, I'm also excited because I'm watching clouds run in, and they're coming in darker.
Right.
And I know for those people that may have already experienced or be experiencing rain in large amounts or small amounts are like, so what? But for the West Coast in California here, Northern California. This is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So kind of a moment in time of here. But, and yeah, I can get Mercury retrograde. It's kind of like, yeah, the shadow. It's kind of like things happen, but they kind of correct reasonably quickly as opposed to what has
yeah,
been happening with
true.
This Mercury retrograde.
That's true. Yesterday was a weird, like, you know, I think Mercury went direct on Tuesday and it's Friday today. And
mm-hmm.
yesterday I was driving to an appointment to meet with a vendor and my staff member that was covering the shop called and said, well, no, first I got an email from my landlord. They had accidentally gone into my shop when they intended to go into the neighbor's shop and they caused my alarm to go off.
Oh, geez.
When the alarm went off, it shut down the phone and the internet. And then when my employee got there, they were like, what's going on? Everything's weird. So they had to call the alarm company and they had to call the phone company and they had to deal with getting everything rebooted because I was literally in a car driving 40 minutes away from town. It was so
oh
crazy.
Oh, my God.
Like, holy cow, Mercury. Like, could you calm down already?
That's not weird. It's
yeah.
like, are
so
you
anyway.
Kidding? Are you, yeah, I know. Well, you know, as it is, we're just like we're sliding on through the experience of all of that's happening. Maybe we'll give a little talk somewhere, and we will. Our show never ceases to add present-day experiences and situations. But how has been your week?
Yeah, you know, my week's been personally good, but really intense. You know, we are in the midst. This was the election week. It's still uncertain. It looks like Joe Biden is going to win, but everything is still uncertain. So there's all of the intensity of that. And then, you know, personally, I'm very, very busy. I just kind of hit a moment of all of these things culminating at once between deadlines and product needs and orders arriving at the shop. And it's kind of all things that I've painted myself into a corner that I have to do myself. So I'm feeling a little overwhelmed, but you know, it's all good stuff. And, I guess that's basically it. Besides the intensity, I have not been sleeping and my eye is twitching because of the election stuff.
Oh God, that is funny.
How are you doing? How's your week been?
Oh, gee, my week has just been like flowing like you wouldn't believe.
Nice.
Actually, it's good. It's been good. Normally, I think I've been asked, said people have noticed this. They said, normally you're doing some fairs and balls and, you know, things. And I'm going, well, yeah. COVID stopped a lot of those in the Halloween time, parties, et cetera, I said. And by the way, the one place that I did go over the last 2 years has been a beautiful place, and it was called the Pagan Ball. And I said, unfortunately, the particular winery got burned, not the castle, but they got the warehouse section, the back section got burned in our last fire that we had, the glass St. Helena area fire. So I'm like, and yet amazingly, the amount of people I picked up on my Saturday at Milk and Honey, which of course we are still all doing phone readings online, and then what I did during the virtual Hoodoo Heritage Festival, actually put in a lot of that money that I normally would get from these other sources for my Christmas money, because I usually spend a certain amount of money on each one of my family members. And then I have cash because I will be going back to Arkansas for Christmas. My place here is still up for sale, and I have to look for places there, et cetera, and do all of the standard stuff for making a big move. But I have been blessed. And I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you, because, you know, it was looking pretty tense there with all of what had been happening. So that made my week really good. And we obviously, you know, work at Lucky Mojo is still going on as we are quarantined, you know, in our little sections of the location and no in-person, you know, people coming in. But so there, you know, we've got all that going on. And quite frankly, I was, you know, really grateful for this week. It kind of made me feel better. I was not sure how I would feel at Samhain, because usually that's a time when I have some very deep personal friends that I get together and we do ritual, and nobody was in the space to do it, and they wanted to be in their own little ballywick. And so that's what I wound up, you know, doing, which was kind of interesting. And my stepdaughter did a really wonderful ritual protection spell in her place that she connected with all family members spiritually. And we talked about it on Sunday, and I was really impressed and very proud of her for the kind of things that she did. So that's, you know, I mean, talk to my granddaughter. My granddaughter, she was going to be another, I guess they had another costume they were going to do for her. And then she decided literally, 24 hours before Halloween, that she was not going to be this. She was going to be what she was last year. And she kept running around the house saying, "I miss No-No." Now, No-No is
a
Sicilian name for grandmother, and No-No is grandfather, which I find interesting. But because she learned the word No-No as things to not do, you know, and then No-No was close enough to that, so I've just, that's what I have. But she was running around the house going, "I miss No-No, no, I miss No-No, I miss No-No, and I'm going to be the witch, I'm going to be a witch." And that was what she was last year.
That's so cute.
So I'm going, my sense of, I got off the phone and I'm going, "That is my granddaughter, that's dead," you know. It was great. It was a wonderful feeling. And I got a little FaceTiming to see her running around in her costume, because they don't do, they didn't do trick-or-treating like you know, we've all done in the past. They went to certain family members' houses that they'd been going to, and they had certain little rituals they did at each one, and I think that was like three. And then they went home, and I was like, "Oh, that's so cute," you know. So that was my week, and it really, it in essence, I feel different. I feel different. I actually was mentioning that today to someone. I feel like my energy raised a vibrational level up. It feels like I went from a medium hum to a nicer, solid hum, I guess.
Nice. So, good.
Yeah. So that's kind of where that is. I flea bombed my house. My dogs went to the groomer and got their cleaning and their brightening and their, you know, check on them. And I feel like I am ready for the winter, because I usually flea bomb the house in November and in June. You know, and it does exactly what I want it to do, because you can't not bring fleas in because you walk around.
Right.
You know, that's just sort of the way it goes, and they use you as the public transit system. So, but this at least, you know, does what I need it to do to keep everything comfortable and safe, so we aren't all food for bugs, let alone fleas. But, and the dogs belong, like Westies originally were set to do. They do have a tendency that I need to be more conscious of the grooming. So that's it. That's my week. And we're ready to start, I think, our remainders of our tarot card series, but with the one called the Moon.
Yeah, we're back on track with our series of exploring the major arcana, and we finally have reached the Moon, which, if you look at this week, is hilariously fascinating timing. And so here we are.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I was like so stunned, going, "Oh, this is so great." So, you know, and I have to say that since we started the series at the beginning of the year, that the timing that the cards have been, and sometimes we get stalled out for one reason or another. We're busy. We have to, you know, not do one, or we have one of our Sabbaths that we put in. It's always been working in a very coherent way to describe what's going on in the world and in our lives. So with that, I'm going to turn over the first part. Always is where you do a beautiful job of describing and getting the card in line, and then we'll go on from there.
Yeah, so we talk about the major arcana cards, and it is based on the Rider-Waite-Smith system and the deck that Rider-Waite-Smith created. So if you're familiar with that deck, then you will be familiar with this imagery that we're about to share with you. But the Moon card is the 18th card in the Major Arcana. Well, it's not the 18th card. It's number 18. It's actually the 19th card. If you've been listening along, you know why. but here again, we see two pillars, a pillar to the left and a pillar to the right. And these pillars show up in several of the major arcana cards, and they represent different things depending on who you ask, but I can't think of the word compassion, that's not it, and severity, two
mercy
different Hebrew mercy, thank you. Two different Hebrew words that I can also cannot remember, but they hold this balance. They hold a balance. And in the moon card, there is a little river that runs between them. They're very set back in the mountains. The river flows down into the ocean. It is believed to be the ocean. There is a dog and a wolf on one on either side of this flowing water. And it's believed that that represents domestication and wildness. Who knows? But we have the dog is orange and the wolf is more yellowish, really. And then a crayfish emerges from the water, which is a whole interesting thing that we can talk about later. The moon is actually, it's a crescent moon sitting in the sun, which is a really, really interesting thing. The sun has 16 points that are long and 16 points that are short, so another interesting thing. And then it is raining, and I'm using air quotes as I say that. There's 16 little drops, 15 little drops that are coming off of the moon and the sun, which are yod-shaped, which is a Hebrew letter. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the moon appears to be frowning, and so there is this idea that the moon is unhappy. And the colors, this is for the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, this is a pretty vibrant card. There's a lot more color, especially since it's supposed to be nighttime. There's a lot more color you see in this card than you might see in some of the other cards that are more, I don't know, simple. Maybe that's not true. I don't know. To me, it feels like more vibrant. I don't know. I don't know why. that's the imagery of the Rider-Waite-Smith card. And there is so much in this card. So much.
I know. Interesting, you were saying the sun. And it's funny because one of the books that I was reading, rereading the information, it's the three phases of the moon, which honestly, when you think about three phases of the moon, but with the rays, I was kind of like going, I really think it's more of what Phoenix is saying. It's got, the moon in the sun mm-hmm. and combined, but it's interesting you're saying 16 and the two towers. 16
right.
in the row is the tower, which I find,
right.
again, you look at the concept of the situation where there is a certain energy pattern about what the tower represents as its card and how it's put into as a double reference here in the moon. So, I have never felt that the moon itself had uncomfortable connotations, mostly
mm-hmm.
because I feel that just like we talk about the dark, it can be scary, it can be evil, it can have all those terrible things in it. But in actuality, there's also the side of the positive, feeling comfortable in the dark, experiencing the dark as, nighttime going to sleep or whatever. That kind of
right.
thing. So that's why this card is, to me, much more illuminating.
Yeah.
Unintended for that. So I will get off my soapbox and let you kind of
No, I think it's true, and I think that's interesting, too, for, a lot of people who read Tarot are not necessarily witches. The Tarot goes beyond witchcraft, but I think for witches especially, there is a comfort with the moon, and so much is done in the moonlight, and there is so much awareness of the phases of the moon in witchcraft that generally this card is sort of looked at as a difficult card to have show up. But when you don't have a difficult relationship with the night and you don't have this fear-based relationship with the moon, it kind of changes your personal relationship to this card.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I find that really interesting.
I know that, the canine aspect with the two canines, one being domesticated, one being, the more wild, There's always the concept of, you know, what we do structurally, we are more within a structure of our ego versus and our conscious mind versus the wilder side, which is more that unconscious or primal point of reference that that both reflects the towers, the two towers, and also obviously these two animals that are part of it. So, you know, I think that there is a duality here as much as anything else, which, you know, when you think of the sun and the moon, if you described the duality.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And according to Waite, one of the creators of this stat, the life of the imagination disconnected from spirit, which that sounds like a bunch of like fluff to me. I don't really like that could be interpreted in so many ways. Like how do you have an imaginative life separated from spirit? I don't know that you can. But anyway, he says the dog and the wolf are represent fears of the natural mind, which is interesting because I feel like a lot of modern readers don't look at the dog and the wolf as the same thing. They look at them as, like you're saying, the duality. He also talks about how everything in this card has reflected light. There is no natural light or direct light. It's all reflected light because it's the moon's light. So there is this idea of the reflected light illuminating our animal nature, the reflected light being an intellectual light and not a spiritual light. So it's like a false light, right? It doesn't really take you deep. It keeps you on the surface. But he also says the message of this card is peace and be still. There will be a calm that comes upon our animal nature while the abyss beneath shall cease from giving up a form. So it's very interesting. It feels a much more complex card. You know, I always feel for me that this card is about what's happening under the surface. You know, there may be this thing happening on top. It may be that you might really have a clear idea of what's going on. But if you were to just dive below the surface of the water, what's actually going on? And that's what's important to pay attention to, you know. And the other thing that Waite says about this card is generally it represents darkness and danger and hidden enemies, but also occult forces, which I think is interesting in our, you know, talking about the energy of the moon in witchcraft, right? The occult forces
right.
of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and you know, that's what he said, but I feel like this card has evolved, like all the cards have evolved.
I think so. Oh, I believe so. Because, well, okay, I'm going to get a little point of reference here. You know, the moon, and it's interesting because one of the books says it's the moon mother watches over the birth of spirit into material manifestation, representing for consists of the digits 1 and 8, which add up to 9, which is the second initiation, indicating that the hermit was the first. And then, of course, you know, we're talking about, you know, different aspects of what an initiation means. It can be learning that your world is, what you've been doing is inappropriate, and you've been initiated into more wisdom. Or, you know, there's the occult meanings, the esoteric society meanings, there is the real world experience of what you're doing. The more you were talking, I was just like listening and back again. We're talking about times when the publications and things of this nature being made more public was directed by men and put in light of that consciousness. And yes, the cards have evolved because we have evolved and become more aware of the harmony and balance and equality of both the masculine and the feminine, the right, the left, you know, whatever you're going to terminologize it as, which is not a word I made it up. So instead of, you know, the terminator, terminalize. But yeah, and I wanted to bring that up because it's funny when you said that, and I'm reading my little thing and I'm going, well, that's interesting. This is how this one is going, and it's all about that aspect of being powerful in the creation of something and moving it forward, which, you know, that's the feminine. yay.
Yeah.
So, but, and, you know, there are so many interesting things about this, you know, when you say meanings, like in the upright, again, we're going back to things that we've talked about, what is upright, what is reversed. But interesting enough, it is about, they talk about intuition and imagination and deception and unforeseen perils and secret foes and bad luck, you know, but then, you know, as an upright, still unfoldment of psychic powers. But you reverse it, and it's interesting because, again, you have imagination, but you harness it for practical purposes, and storms will be weathered and peace gained and, you know, that kind of thing. So I think, as we have said before, we both do not do reversal, so we look at the cards
right.
around to add the meaning that I think a reversal in a black and white point of reference would give.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, the other thing to just in the symbology here is that little crayfish.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of touched on some of the other symbology in here, but and there's a few different theories about what this little crayfish represents, and it's, you know, one of the theories that this is the early stages of consciousness. You know, that first primordial being that crawled out of the muck that led to humanity, you know. So it is like, and there's also this exterior shell that is sort of keeping the truth from really being revealed. And so this, you know, it's a young consciousness. It's an unaware consciousness. It's a it's the beginning steps of really seeing the world that is around you. Also, this concept that, you know, the crayfish is a bottom feeder, so it's not only, you know, covered in a hard shell and standing at the edge of the water, but typically it lives in the depths, and it's coming up out of that space from its kind of from its unawareness, its hiddenness,
right.
It's starting to emerge, right? So, again, it's another little nod to this idea of emerging, what's happening under the surface, what's actually going on.
Right, right. And it's interesting we're talking about that and listening, and I'm going, this is it. I'm looking at my papers going, yes, you know, and because of the emerging. If you look at the levels, you've got the crayfish, you've got the dogs, and then you have what is beyond the pillars, which, you know, along with the yodes coming down of, you know, divine cosmic energies, et cetera, the initiations. And one of the things that I realized is that that number actually has two variations of where you would consider initiations, is that, you know, 2 times 9 is 18. So two experiences of wisdom, 9 being the hermit and another 9, but it's also 3 sixes. So in actuality, it could very easily be the third initiation, which, you know, when looked at 3s being a trinity or some, you know, whatever you feel, that is a higher initiation, a deeper initiation, something more.
Right.
So, it does have 2 levels, which I didn't realize until you were talking. I'm going, oh, look at that. I need to remember my math, which I don't often do because math is never, it's funny, math was never my best subject at all until I got into like trigonometry and algebra 4. And I wasn't deliberately doing that, but I wanted to be a doctor at one point. Yes, I said that. but I soon realized that whether I was a doctor or a chiropractor or anything, I wasn't really interested in, you know, dissecting people's bodies that had once been alive. So I quickly lost interest in that. But that was one of the things that I was doing in high school with a mindset going forward. But it's the higher, I think it's because you get beyond the limiting basics and you can go into a bigger pattern that you're looking at, and I guess that's why this appeals to me as a tool, because the tarot has the simpler ones, which is your basics, and and then you go into these other higher meanings or deeper meanings, I think would be a better way to describe them.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, maybe we should take a break, our very quick and short but sweet break, and then come back with a little bit more and then our own favorite tarot.
Yeah, we'll dig into the more of the meanings when we get back.
Yay.
All right, stay tuned.
Okie doke.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays, 3 to 4:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays, 5 to 6. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays, 1 to 2. And Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays, 7 to 8. All time specific. Add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
I always feel better when I'm unmuted, you know that. Yeah. So, one of the things that I wanted to share was the more Golden Dawn, Paul Foster case concept that I looked at this as that quaff, Q-O-P-H is the letter, which is Q, which means back of the head, and that the part of the skull, the back of the head, is where the cerebellum and the medulla oblongata is. And both these functions are functions of human personality, which we share with the rest of the animal kingdom, which again goes back to the animals that we are seeing, not just the little crayfish, but the dogs. So,
yeah.
And it's about, you know, it governs the body activities of health. And I was really kind of taken by that because I know we all, you know, look at our brain and, you know, a lot of us that are alternative health people kind of wander through different aspects that we can work with when it comes to that. And it's, you know, the function of sleep, which you and I mentioned briefly or somewhere along the line is that, you know, people have been having a hard time sleeping.
Yeah.
We have had a hard time sleeping because not just of our brain activity, but collectively what we're experiencing when we go into sleep, which is going into, you know, that state of subconscious, you know, melding with everything. So I'm aware that I've had a lot of experiences with clients talking about that too. So it's kind of like, oh, good. And sometimes it's like, oh, good, it's not just me and my little world that is all messy right now. Anyway, so.
So, can we talk a little bit about some of the meanings of the moon and if it shows up?
Sure, that sounds perfect.
So, some of the things here that many writers have said about the moon is that it is often about fear. And that you may be pushing things down rather than deal with them. So, you know, usually when we aren't dealing with something, it's because it's too painful. And it brings up fear or other things that we're not ready to address. So that's okay. Mm-hmm. But usually when the moon comes up, it is a sign or a symbol that maybe it's time to start dealing. You know, the avoidance of the issue has lasted long enough, and maybe it's time to start dealing. One of the readers that I was reading her blog about this card, and she was like, it might be time to seek out hypnosis therapy or other healing systems. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. The other thing about the moon is it's a card of illusion. It's uncertainty. Nothing is quite what you think it is. So this is definitely something to pay attention to in your layout. If you have a bunch of cards, how is the moon in its layout impacting those other cards? Because this could make everything else, if you have a great reading and then the moon is there right in the center, it might not be such a great reading. It might be that everything is great on the surface. Mm-hmm. But if you just crack that ice, it could all fall apart, you know? So it's really important, again, to remember, we say this every time, remember to not just look at this one card, but the other cards around it and what those other cards mean too. You know, the other thing that can come up around this card is to pay attention to the moon cycles. Are you incorporating moon cycles in your own personal work? Are you doing magic on the full moon? Are you aware of letting things go or setting intentions on the new moon? It might be time to incorporate some of that to help you shift this veil of illusion, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also, again, some of the more traditional ways of looking at this is not just illusion, but delusion, addiction, you know, things that distort the reality. So if you are unsettled, or, you know, your emotional state is off balance, then making choices that are from a distorted or unbalanced situation becomes something that is brought to the fore in a reading and saying, well, maybe this is coming from a more codependent, a more this or that point of reference. And yes, so the surface is one way, but there's a deeper reference point. And, I mean, we all have our coping mechanisms, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I mean, we all do that. And in our day and age, coping mechanisms are wide-ranging, whereas before, I think, you know, they weren't as wide-ranging as they are now. So, and that's, again, another one of the vision of the moon, as per se. And cyclic, how do you cope? Do you cope better at this time or more difficult? And not necessarily because it's a full moon or not. And I have to mention this. It came up, it was in the Press Democrat, which is our local newspaper, about a young boy who is dealing with, and I don't know the actual medical term, but it is one where you show symptoms of, you're going to love this, and this is one of those where I know we've had questions about this, but it shows symptoms, and it's called the werewolf syndrome. And it shows symptoms of that process. And it's an article, and it's an actual, there is an actual diagnosable issue where that is the case. Hmm. I was fascinated by that. I was just like, oh, my gosh. You know, and I had to remember to tell that because we have, you know, we get on Ask a Witch, we get a lot of different questions. And I honestly think that was one we have to adjust for, because it does, there's something that does exist of that nature. And so bringing it to the fore in this time frame, at least with the moon and the howling and everything, I thought, well, let's just see about talking about that. I'm sure she'll love me bringing it up.
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, totally offbeat, but yeah, I was, and I, again, how appropriate, you know, werewolf moon. You know, what else can you say? But anyhow. So back to the more practical things that we're talking about. So I'll kind of back off here. So
should we go into the reversal real quick and get that out of the way?
Yeah.
For those of you
we might
who
as well, because that
reversals.
Always comes up. Yeah, I know. So.
Yeah, so if you have a moon reversed, it can indicate that you've been dealing with illusion, and now you're starting to work through it. But like some of the fears and the anxieties and all of these things that may have been kind of in your consciousness, you're moving beyond. Like you've already, you're facing the shadows, you're facing the hardship. It's no longer under the surface. It's out in the open. And it is often a really important sign that it's time to face it head on, right? Like you can't hide anymore. When the moon shows up, upright, you can still kind of hide, especially like I said, if the moon's in the center and it's surrounded by the Empress and the Sun and all the Ten of Cups, you could just pretend that everything's great, but eventually, it will turn itself over and make itself known. And I find this true with the moon and the Queen of Cups. But the moon reversed is supposed to be more of this, but I find it true for upright moon as well. But it's a card of intuition. So listen to your intuition, listen to the messages coming through, pay attention to your dreams and anything else that any gut reactions or instincts that you're having. I find that anytime the Queen of Cups comes up too, I'm like, oh, you already know the answer. You don't even need to talk to me. The Queen of Cups is here.
And unfortunately, most of the time, people don't want to hear that, not because they don't want to believe in themselves, but because it's hard to own it, to say, yes, I do know, or yes, I do have that intuition, and it's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to bounce it off, quote, we call it bouncing off people, different situations.
Yeah.
Okay, so very quickly, a sidebar. I mean, are we done with our reversals? Just so I'm not, jumping
ahead.
Yeah,
unless you want to add anything in, I think that's good.
Okay, no, I don't have anything on these reversals. I just wanted to I've been adding these kind of more esoteric reference points, but one of the things is that this is the sign Pisces. So it is Pisces. It is the... is ruled by, Neptune and Jupiter and mutable water. And the musical tone is Be Natural. But it rules the feet, the lymphatic system, and blood chemistry. And when you look at the fact there's this path that you walk, is you put your, you start putting, the foot on the path. Thought that has a certain other, it kind of, portends a beginning of another level of your, walking the path, so to speak.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yes, so there we are. So at this point is the fun part for both of us because we get to talk about our deck.
forget all that Rider-Waite crap.
I know. Forget it. We got our own. It's mostly because if anyone realizes when you read Tarot, you do start out with something that is simple and generic, or, some people jump right into the deep end, which is fine, but you eventually find a deck that speaks to you, and then that's the one that really you like. It's like you and it are one, and I think that's interesting and most important for people who might be thinking of doing something with this other than, their own personal growth and things. So you get to go first on this one.
Oh, okay. So I use the Druid Craft Tarot deck. That is my favorite deck, and I've used it for a long time. I haven't come across another deck that has taken my love from this one yet. It could happen, but it's been a while. One of the things is, like I said, if you've been listening along, some of the cards in my deck are very different than the original Rider-Waite, and they tend to have a more earth-based Celtic mythology spin to them. The imagery on this card, though, is really kind of spot on. There's a few differences, and the wolf and the dog are howling, and for me, that is an important difference. The crawfish is a crab. And for me, that's another important distinction. That feels like a very different animal. You know, and crab connects to Cancer, the sign of the zodiac, and water and the depths of ocean and emotion and feeling. So it kind of has a different spin there. The other thing that he specifically, well, it's by Philip and Stephanie Cargom. I forgot to mention that. One of the things they mention in their write-up of this card, I'm trying to flip my book to that page because I want to say it right, is that the two towers in this book, they're standing, or in this deck, they're standing stones. He says here that the standing stones are the other side of the gateway that the high priestess holds. So if you were to walk through the standing stones behind the high priestess, it would lead you to the edge of the water where the moon is. So that's interesting because we really can look at the major arcana as a single journey or, you know, whatever. And I love this idea that they interplay together like that. You know, like you could walk along the landscape and be move from one card to the next. I really like that. So here's a little bit of what they say about this card. It's about psychic awakening, facing fears. It says the path can sometimes be difficult, but the more we enter into the mystery of existence, the richer the rewards. However far we have traveled, we can still fall victim to delusion and illusion, and yet this is no reason for us to hold back. Fear has its place in protecting us from danger and in clarifying our emotional limits. But this card tells us that fear can also be your ally and teacher. So I find that really interesting. Yeah, it says the moon is associated with menstruation, which, if you know me, I love talking about periods. And that's a reproductive process, which means this card is associated with creation, with the process of birth, death, and rebirth. So you got to love that. It is change, imagination, and creativity. It can indicate a difficult emotional journey. And being prepared for loneliness or isolation as you basically deal with your shit. You know, that's not what they wrote, but that's what I'm summing it up as. And then the message of the moon, teacher and ally. If you can walk through the gates of fear, you will arrive at the realm of the goddess who will bless you with inner vision. That's there you go. That is the Druidcraft Tarot deck.
Wow. Hey, you know, that's cool. And I think that there is a certain amount of, I like the pillar idea. I like that pillar and standing stones on the other side. I think that's very, that sees things in other dimensions that, you know, again, we were talking about the idea here of the dimensions being different with how Ryder and they put it together versus, you know, how other decks have subsequently visioned it according to either their, like the Druid, the one that I use, the Witch's Tarot, things of that nature. It shifts the perspective enough to make us reach deeper, I think, into the actual aspects of using this to explore ourselves or to help other people explore the circumstances they have. But mine, which I tend to use, is the are you done? I don't want to step on your toes today. I've been a little bit less thoughtful, and I apologize. Are you complete with what you needed to say on your
day? Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, no, go for it.
Okay, yeah, I was just like, I'm getting so excited here. The Witch's Tarot is what I use, which is interesting because there's another one that has a similar name, but this is by Ellen Dugan and Mark Evans. This one does not use towers and animals. What it does is it has Hecate, and she is standing in a wooded area. There are, in the background, not as distinct, but two very tall mountain peaks that are like canyons. So they've made it more like a canyon in the back with the moon, but mostly it was in the crescent. And it talks about Hecate as the crone and, you know, being at the crossroads and with the torch. And so it uses the triplicity of Maiden Mother Crone, which, of course, Hecate is part of and is also, you know, very much in her guises. But it's the crone, the woman's power, and It's about showing the way, but being ready to step on the path and go forward. And, you know, of course, magic is everywhere, that kind of a thing. The meanings, of course, is that this is the intuition and illusions, but it's also about your psychic powers, and it reveals people and situations are not always as they appear, and light can be deceptive. What looks one way during the day may appear differently under the shifting light of the moon. And basically call on your guides and your totems and Hecate to help you pass the fog, pass between the fog and find recognition of what you need. So, and of course, the aspect here is with the positive is the crone aspect of the goddess. Work with waning moon magic, protection magic, seeing through what others would keep hidden. Does that sound like what we've been doing recently in the big world? intuition and the development of the psychic powers and wisdom gained through years of life experience. Or I should actually say experience, because life experience is positive. We do have that, but I think a lot of people live through a lot in a short period of chronological years that give them wisdom too, and we need to honor that.
Yeah.
So, and the reverse, of course, would be more like deceit, anxiety, fear, deception. You know, and of course, there you go. That was, but it's a softer version. It's a much softer version, and yet it still has the it punches a real hard punch of energy, even without all of the, you know, symbologies that the Rider-Waite-Smith deck has, or some of the more traditional ones that they've that have kept the same kinds of symbols there.
Right.
But so yeah, appropriate as it is to bring about what is illusion versus going beyond the veil of what has been created by illusion. Seems to be happening in our life right now, with not just personal things, but national in big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, but I know that I normally, we jump on some bandwagon, but at this point, I think for what we are looking at, do you have anything you want to say that is outside the norm of our tarot, or anything that you would like to, you know, bring forth? Because we have a few minutes before we say our farewell.
Yeah, you know, I don't think so. I think, well, maybe there's one thing.
Okay.
I already said this, but I feel like with this card more than any other, it's really important to pay attention to the other cards you've pulled, because you know, this card obviously has a standalone message, but it's going to greatly impact what else is going on in the reading and what the, you know, what the querent wants to know, what the question is, and the other cards that have shown up. So, you know, just make sure that, of course, when you're doing readings, really take into account how the cards interplay together. I feel like this one really is more impactful to the overall flow of the layout than some of the other cards might be. That's all that I would add, you know, just a little exclamation point on that one.
Yeah, well, and that's good because, you know, a lot of what we talk about is personal experience, things that we've, you know, we've had happen while we've had readings, and I know that looking at it as something we want to do for ourselves, and then we get excited, and then we start jumping into the deeper waters, so to speak. So definitely from this card, look at everything around it, because again, it's about illusion, or that which is seen through a different kind of lens, and you want to be able to utilize that.
Yeah.
So, but I think pretty much that kind of sums up our experiences on the moon, unless there's something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going around, I think it was very, it's a very profound card, and as I said, the timing of these cards for our own lives and the circumstances as I was saying to Phoenix before we started the show, that Samhain to now, and of course Samhain, the full moon was really intense, that my own experience of where I have been, where I am, what my energies were, my emotions, my mental state shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And shifted to a vibration that seemed more solid because I was willing to let go of some of the what I thought were real world have to's that were basically illusionary. You do it, but you don't have to get stuck in it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
Kind of where it is. But so that's my last word on the moon for the moment.
Yeah. We'll be back next week to talk about the sun. And then there's just 2 weeks left. Then we go on to justice. No, not justice.
World.
What the heck?
No, judgment.
My brain just... Judgment. Thank you, Christ. Oh, my gosh. Judgment. And then the world. And we've made it through the whole shebang. And it took us just about a year because we, you know, did other things in between. So that's pretty fun.
I think that it's absolutely amazing because, you know, when either one of us is chosen to teach this, it's usually annotated versions because you can't, you know, a long time ago, I also taught it that way, is that I did one card either per week. And, you know, so it was a 22-week course and that kind of a thing. And that's great. But as we found in life, we have times where we stall out on things because we haven't gotten it yet. And we need to go through a little bit more. But, so that's why I think that a year is probably good for this. We definitely, the sun will be next week. And it's, you know, as we said today with the way that the rays of the sun and behind the moon are incorporated with the moon, it is a complement. And we'll probably say a lot more about that on next week's show. So
absolutely. In the meantime, thanks for listening and, you know, do witchy things and smash the patriarchy.
There you are. Yeah. So fist goes up in the air. You know, there's no fist bump. It's up in the air. Okay.
That's right.
So have a wonderful and safe week, and we'll see you on the radio next week.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.